You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is episode 99 and it all gets very real. The big 100 gets very, very real now. We've still not worked out what we're doing. Anyway, my name's Matt Hall and I'm delighted to be joined by Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Hello everyone.
So quite a few things to go through this episode, and we're going to start with disappointment, Jeff. Obviously, Saturday's trip to King's Lynn, there was a 9 a.m. pitch inspection, which passed. I think 99% of the fans and the people making the journey knew how it would turn out. However, we did obviously have to travel given that the pitch inspection was passed.
Yeah, I mean, talk about sarcastic comments on social media and stuff from their fans. I saw something about, if Bromley fans knew it was off, why they travel? Because your club and the referee said the game was on. Mm. So that's why. Incredibly disappointing. Ridiculous.
Very, very disappointing.
I know they put the complaints and stuff in, but again, everyone should be held to account, especially and mainly the referee.
Very, very disappointing circumstances and a disappointing lack of communication all round as well, which was a shame. But of course, a big shout out to all of the fans who made the wasted journey up there. Obviously, those coming on the coach was one thing. You had some fans that were staying overnight, and I actually saw some made the trip from all parts of the country. There were even a couple of fans that came from
Imogen
Wales.
Imogen from Wales, yeah. Shout out.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So apologies, obviously, to all of those. And just thank you for your support. You can really see what the club means to people when things like this happen. But it wasn't to be. And I think that game was going to be quite an important one, actually, for Bromley to bounce back from the disappointment of last Tuesday. And it's just really unfortunate that, A, we didn't know sooner, and B, obviously, it didn't go ahead.
It's just you've got to be playing games this time of the year. That's a frustration, isn't it? You want to be playing the games now, and that's another game that needs to be rearranged amongst the other ones.
And another Tuesday night away trip, which
exactly.
they're adding up, aren't they?
100%. You look at the fixtures between now and the end of the season and you get excited about potential FA Trophy progress, they're filling up. It's going to be, you know, they're going to fill up and you're going to have awkward trips in a week where ideally you wouldn't have them. So, another disappointment there.
Anyway, moving on from the weekend.
Yeah, keep it light.
Disappointment there. Yeah, it is Friday. It is podcast time. Let's try and cheer things up a bit. Obviously, Tuesday's game did go ahead. We were pleased about that. There wasn't a third postponement in four games. And that was a trip to Weymouth, a trip down to the seaside.
We had a great time on the old sports coach. We left about, what did we leave? Half two. We were there by quarter to six.
Did you go to the beach, get a stick of rock?
No, sat in the car park for a while and waiting to go in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Brilliant. Obviously, this is normally where you'd talk and then we'd go into the commentary from the game. But actually, I'll talk now because, Jeff, it was yourself and Dan on commentary on Tuesday, and here's how it all went down.
Chance in a game to score.
Weymouth now deep inside the Bromley half, coming up to the edge of the box on that far side. Gonna look to get the cross in as the Omar stands his man up, but the ball's still with Weymouth. Lucky Richard gets a cross in, free man at the back post, and it's a goal! It's a goal for the home side, and the cross was in. It was a free header at the back post. Cousins got a touch, but he couldn't keep it out. And it's a Weymouth 1, Bromley 0.
Yes, but that was good pressing from Weymouth. Pressed well, Bromley couldn't get out, but Coulson managed to do well.
Cousins with a long ball forward, it's over the head of Bush, but Weymouth man wins the ball. Oh, I'll tell you what, Parsons keeps the ball alive at that far corner. He's got 2 minutes, he's beat Parsons, he's in the box, right foot, another go! Yes! Get in there, son, I love that! It's a fantastic goal from Parsons, fantastic work rate on that far side. He picks up the ball and he's ended up beating two of his man. He's in the box. He thinks he's going to play across the box. He's cut it onto his right-hand side and he's dispatched it into the back of the net. And it's Weymouth 1, Bromley 1. That's the least that Bromley deserve.
Yeah, back four, Bushy.
It feels like a back four, doesn't it?
It does. I feel like Partington's gone to right back.
I mean, the game's stretched, don't get me wrong, but the interest is how that's going to affect our four-point. Weymouth in possession deep inside the ball. Cross comes into the box. Oh, and it's fit through. It's an own goal by Partington, the sub.
over the line.
I think it was. I think it had already gone in and away. The
cross into the box. It was sort of flicked further across the box by a Weymouth man, unmarked. And it sort of hit Partington, rolled towards the goal line. And it's in the back of the net. It's too slow. They've got three men over that side now. Played inside of Corey Whiteley. Corey Whiteley cuts back inside on his right foot.
From Cheek, he needs one chance and he's got it.
That's it, such a class, and Romney right back in this now.
So Jeff, obviously yourself and Dan were down there reporting on the action. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, madness, absolutely crazy. It was we had a change of shape. We had the two up top, we had Dennis and Cheek up top, and it worked really well. We had a lot of possession, and we had plenty of chances. We just didn't put the ball in the back of the net, and somehow we found ourselves 1-0 down at half time. Two good chances for the home side, really. Hit the post with one and scored from the other, and it was just a bit flummoxed really at half time. And then you come out for the second half. Connor Parsons, wasn't it, with a goal? Fantastic work, got the goal, brilliant, game on. And then unfortunately he comes off at the time. You don't know why. You're literally sitting in the stand, can't believe it. Joe Partington comes on, and unfortunately, moments later, ends up almost putting the ball in the back of his own net, and it was just a mad sort of five minutes. And then, of course, Cheek, brilliant, fantastic, gets the second goal, which should have been the winner, really. We, at the time, at 1-0, we said there's one more goal in this. Someone's going to win this game. But it happened to be two, unfortunately. And like I say, great equaliser, but time just ran out in the end, and I think probably a disappointment will be just not taking a chance in the first half. I think that's probably cost us overall in terms of the game. But a fantastic effort from the supporters who made the trip. I think there was about 40, 50 of them to the right-hand side. There was some in front of us in the main stand. I must have been a while being on the old Coventry. So it was a thoroughly enjoyable evening. So a big thank you to Dan as well, who's on commentary duty.
Certainly an enjoyable listen as well. It was not you or Dan, Jeff, that caught up with Andy Woodman after the game.
Probably, I'd lost my voice by that point, I think. We had Josh with us, and there's obviously many people volunteering and helping out on the media side, which is greatly appreciated. And like you say, mate, it was Josh Hardy who managed to catch up with Andy after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Andy, disappointing result tonight. What were your thoughts on the match?
I felt we had enough chances to probably win about 15 games there tonight. We just created so many chances, it just wouldn't go in. Hit the post, keeper made unbelievable saves. It really was just one of those amazing nights where I think we must have had 10 or 12 chances. I'm flabbergasted. So if I'm going to take the positives out of it, we're creating chances. We just got to be more ruthless. I thought we had a penalty, blatant penalty that we should have had as well, which was early on. But look, we can't moan about refereeing decisions. We've got to just take care of our own business, and we made hard work of it tonight. And by letting them get a goal, give them a real lift, and then it was going to be a hard night and it became messy. But we didn't get beat, but it was no real consolation, if I'm to be honest.
You mentioned the positives from the result. I think Connor Parsons had a really good game today. New to the squad. How do you think he played?
Yeah, Connor was excellent. Probably people wondering why I took him off. He's just cramping up a little bit, so I've got to be mindful that, he's not our player. I don't want him pulling a calf, particularly with his performance tonight. It was fantastic. I thought he was our best player on the pitch by a country mark. So I'm really delighted with that. That was a positive. I would love to have kept him on for 90 minutes. I really would have. But obviously, he was just cramping up a little bit, but really chuffed with him tonight, and he should be very chuffed with his performance.
Obviously, Michael Cheek, get back on the score sheet. How do you think he'd do for us this season?
Yeah, well, I think it's important for Michael. The last few games, I don't think we've been getting him up the pitch enough, if I'm to be honest. And I've made a real conscious decision to make sure that he plays right on the last man, without going into any detail of how we've gone about that this week. Because if you've got someone like Michael Cheek and he's dropping into a hole, it's no point. so my real conscious decision with Cheeky was to get him high up the pitch, and make sure then we got the ball to the wide guys, and then they sort of served him up the balls, and that's how he's got to be, you know. That's how Cheeky's got to play, you know, for him. So I was happy with that part of the game worked. That said, I think Cheeky could have had probably a hat trick easily tonight, you know, easily, and he'll probably be a bit disappointed he didn't get more.
Next game in the league, Torquay away, another tough game. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are the same. I mean, look, Weymouth, I don't think they've been beaten five now with tonight's game. So as much as they are now in the league, you know, they're fighting for their lives, and there is no easy games. Torquay won't be easy. Any game in this league is not easy, and no game, I mean, I've said it today, no game is just a given. So we've got to treat every game, you know, as if it's like a cup final, as it were. And if we're going to sort of achieve anything this year, we've got to have a little bit more belief in the camp and a little bit more ruthlessness about our finishing. You know, but look, I'm disappointed, as you can tell, really disappointed, but I'm also kind of chuffed that we created so many chances. So and credit to Weymouth, you know, they've done a good job as well tonight by hanging on. We've done that ourselves, so you know, fair play.
Thank you, Adam.
So the day after that, we had the weird predicament of having two match days on two consecutive days.
God, I loved it,
which was brilliant, wasn't it? I could see you behind the goal for the penalty shootout, which we'll get onto in a minute. You were enjoying the penalties, weren't you?
The game itself, come on, these were fantastic. The young lads did remarkably
they were exceptional.
Well. I mean, that was Ebbsfleet's first team, as far as I could tell.
To put it into perspective, that Ebbsfleet team was full of seasoned Football League players. Lee Martin, for example, was played under Sir Alex Ferguson for Man United. Seasoned Championship players in that team as well. This is a Bromley under-23s team, virtually, with the exception of a couple of first-team players. They were absolutely fantastic. They really didn't let the challenge or the superior experience of Ebbsfleet phase them at all. The energy was fantastic.
Similar to the Tuesday night, really. We had a lot of possession in the first half and a couple of chances, and Ebbsfleet one or two chances, and they scored one of them, and they go in with a lead. But again, it was great to see a couple of hundred fans turn out for it as well. Wednesday night, just football under the lights, Hayes Lane, there's something about it. And yeah, it was another one of those evenings where you just knew it wasn't going to end, and second half, like I say, Bromley continues to grow in the game, and they just played with such confidence on the ball, and it was brilliant to see. And Marcus in midfield done really brilliantly well. Kellen Fisher, you could name all of them because they were all absolutely brilliant. Solgadir up top. It was really enjoyable to watch, and they got their goal in the end. It was thoroughly deserved, and yeah, to send it to penalties. I've got to be honest, at that point I lost track of the penalties.
We had a moment. I think it finished 7-6, wasn't it? In the end, was
yes,
it 7-6?
Yeah.
It was, and it got to the point, it went on for so long that obviously Ellery Balcombe, Bromley's goalkeeper, stepped up because it had gone on for that long. There were two penalties, one for each side, where the goalkeeper came off their line. The Ebbsfleet one a lot clearer than the Bromley one, I have to say.
That was certainly.
And yeah, obviously the penalties were retaken. So it was a very interesting penalty shootout, but it was great to see the confidence and the nerves of steel from a lot of the young Bromley players. And before we even got to that point, the goal from Jack Cawley, absolutely brilliant from the free kick. Again, a defender stepping up. We have a thing about defenders scoring stunning free kicks here at the moment. And Jack Cawley's done just that. A really, really good goal. 1-0 in the end, and really, really competed right the way through, all the way through the shootout.
Yeah, no, like you say, Matt, obviously we had the B team on commentary duty that night, and here's what we had today.
Giambatti to Wood. Nice flick. Giambatti back to Paxman. Paxman cuts in field. Threads a ball through, looking for Romain. Bromley not able to clear, though. It's Coulthurst. Nice footwork into the box. Coulthurst goes for the shot and scores. It's a really good finish from Shaq Coulthurst.
And it's definitely within shooting range here for, I think it's going to be Jack Cawley. It's a good position for the left footer.
Jack Cawley and Ben Crowhouse both standing over this one. Like you say, it does favour the left footer. And Crowhouse not looking like he's going to take this one, although that might all be part of Bromley's plan here to just throw Ebbsfleet off a little bit. Two players standing over the ball. Every single Ebbsfleet player is back to defend this one. Of course, down to 10 men now, Ebbsfleet, having made all three changes, and Alfie Egan, the latest change, going off injured. And it will be Jack Cawley, the skipper, stepping over this one. Cawley goes for the shot. It's a low shot! Brilliant strike! Jack Cawley with the free kick, buries it into the bottom corner. Nothing Chris Hay could have done about that one. And that's a wonderful strike to bring it level. Goalkeeper versus goalkeeper. Balcombe against Haig. Here is Balcombe. And it's saved by Haig. It's a good save down to his right, and we're unsure what's happened there, as everyone seemed to sort of turn around and look at each other, including us. But of course, that does mean it's a penalty shootout victory for Esplett United this evening. But that's not really a reflection on the great performance that the young Bromley team have put out here tonight. And you can catch the action from the penalty shootout, the full penalty shootout, and the rest of the highlights over on our YouTube channel. Just search Bromley FC. Jeff, of course, Wednesday was not only our first Kent Senior Cup game for a while, but actually a trial of a new ticketing system.
Yes, it was, yeah. A new ticketing system obviously went live. Yeah, not ideal. Obviously, 48 hours notice for most people, but like you say, a couple of hundred people managed to use it and make it work. Plenty of Sport has already provided feedback to Mike, the general manager, I think, on elements of it. But no, it all seemed to go okay. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we deploy it for the FA Trophy game. I think they're going to make that decision in the coming weeks. Hopefully those tickets can get on sale pretty soon. But before that, Matt, obviously the under-23s are at home again, this time on Saturday.
They are, and this time obviously they are the under-23s. They won't be necessarily the handful of first-team players involved in that one. But we're really excited. They're such a great side to watch, and we've really enjoyed seeing them this season. They're in action, and it's quite special for them, really. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the Friday, Saturday, the 26th of February, no first team game. They're on the stadium pitch at 3 o'clock, which is a brilliant experience for them and a brilliant opportunity for all of you to come down and support them, especially those that weren't able to make it on Wednesday. This really, really is a great opportunity. There's not many games going on locally, so come on down to Hayes Lane. It's a fiver a ticket. You can get your tickets online, bromleyfc.co.uk, and we're really, really looking forward to it. They're taking on Met Police, so fingers crossed it'll be another great performance from them and a good result.
Yeah, and obviously, shout out to Steve Harris, the manager, obviously, who's done an incredible. He took the side on Wednesday as well. I think we spoke on it earlier, Matt. It's been probably quite a difficult season because the under-23 players that have been so good have been given first-team opportunities and first-year pros, and then you've had players that have had an opportunity to be sent out on loan as well and dual registration. So I imagine it's been quite a bit part disjointed at times this season, but obviously Steve and the team do an amazing job with the under-23s, and Matt, you had the pleasure of catching up with Steve during training earlier, and here's what he had to say.
We've already caught up about Tuesday's Kent Senior Cup fixture. Obviously, it was a first-team fixture, a high number of under-23s and academy prospects featuring. What was their reaction to the result and the performance?
Yeah, we gathered yesterday. We had a little light session yesterday, all joined it back together. The boys were still buzzing, although a little bit gutted that we didn't go through. Obviously, we lost on penalties, but they was really pleased with their performance. I think they were just really pleased with the way they coped with them in the end. We contained first half, and second half grew in confidence, and the boys were buzzing, really. Yeah, I thought they'd put in a really good performance.
And hopefully you and the boys have seen some of the comments online and social media comments on just how impressed people were with the performance.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's a chance for the boys to showcase what they've done. Like you say, it's a first team fixture. We took it on. It's a chance for the fans to come in and see them, and a little bit of a social media outburst and people making comments, which is brilliant for the boys. People can start realising what we've got at this club, and we've got some good boys, good talent at this club.
And looking ahead now, obviously a lot of those players I would imagine would be in action at home tomorrow as we welcome Met Police to Hayes Lane in the under-23s fixture, and it'd be great to see as many people here as possible to back them again.
Might be super. Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, in Hayes Lane. The boys don't get the opportunity to do that, obviously, because the first team fixtures are quite bad at home, so it's a chance for us to have the Saturday afternoon slot. If the fans come through the door, it'd be brilliant for the boys again. A chance to showcase them. A tough game. Met Police are a decent side. It's back to our normal bread and butter, back to the league. Can we do it under the lights on a Wednesday night? Can we turn up Saturday and do it here as well, Saturday afternoon?
We've had the pleasure of seeing quite a few of the Suburban League fixtures for the under-23s this season. How would you assess the campaign so far?
Yeah, it's what it is. We're a young side in this. It's like we're under-23s, but most of the boys are under-18s. Most majority of the squad are. It's a brilliant process for us. We're playing regular football against some good sides every week. We've had some ups and downs. We've had some fantastic performances. We've scored lots of goals, and then we've had some not so. But we have lots of changes. I don't think once I've had the same team out twice. We're always consistently changing. Boys giving opportunities, and it's a chance for people to go and prove what they can do.
Talking about opportunities, you must be really proud actually to have played a big part in Ken Fisher's progression to the first team, and actually just how he's settled in really, really well.
He just rises to every occasion that's put in front of him. He's done fantastically well. He copes under pressure. If he's asked to go and do something, he just carries it on. people say about his size and his stature, but his aggression is brilliant. He loves it. He loves being out there. And like I said, he's whatever he put in front of him, he just matches and goes on. He's done brilliant. He's done really, really well.
When we talk about the waves of talent, you obviously work within the academy as well. We see the waves of talent coming through to the 23s and then the first team every year. Are there any more exciting prospects waiting to come through to the 23s now?
That's for me to find, no, you to find out. But listen, it's one after the other. I know we've got some boys out on loan at the minute. We do. Once we get to a certain stage, we send them out on loan. So then it's down for me to find another to come in and step in and go, okay, are you as good as what we've already got as well? And we've got some boys ready and waiting to come in. Yeah, we've got quite a few first years in the squad now as well. And we've got our under 16s we're looking at for next year when they come into the academy as well. So yeah, the production role continues.
And for any Bromley fans who are unsure about coming down tomorrow, what would you say to them?
Get down, why not? A chance to see what we've got next. They can see for their own eyes what I've been talking about, what we've been talking about. And then one day in a couple of weeks' time, hopefully they can see a couple of them in the first team as well, playing for the first team. So yeah, a chance for them to come and see on a big scale what we've got at a younger age groups.
Great to hear from Steve as always, Matt. Great to see him talk about, like you say, some of the achievements and obviously the experiences that the boys are getting this season.
Absolutely, and I think the nicest bit that he touched on there was actually how proud the team were of their own performance. You know, matching a very experienced and quality Ebbsfleet side, really, from start to finish. And actually, that's proven to them how good they can be. But he doesn't want them to rest on their laurels. He wants them to keep working hard and keep training hard. And I'm sure that's what they're going to do. The talent coming out of the football club is really, really exciting. And I think that Steve frequently finds himself in the position of sometimes that talent shoots him in the foot a little bit because he will lose the players to the first team, which is fantastic. But it makes Steve's job a little bit more difficult. He's now got to unearth the next gem. And actually, he's such an important part of this process, Steve. And he's very, very good to catch up with and a real pleasure to work around. So, yeah, big thank you to Steve and congratulations to the team. We can't wait to watch the game on Saturday. Really excited for it.
Just to touch very quickly on the community, Matt, we talk about it every single week, but Ravens chat. Obviously, again, a big thank you to the players getting involved this week. Again, we had Billy Bingham and Harry Forster.
Harry Forster for his second week in a row, I think, which was fantastic. Big thank you to both of the players. I know all of the guys really, really appreciated having a chat with them. And I think it's a real unique project that we've got going on with Ravens Chat. The guys are in this environment, and the ladies as well are in this environment. And it's quite unique. It's not something we've done before. The players sort of pop in and say hello. Andy pops up and says hello.
You know what, I think you forget sometimes the players have got their own stories to tell.
Yeah.
So I know some of the conversations that they're having, and it's just not something that the conversation they have just wouldn't occur. You know, you say hello on match days, there's familiar faces, you say hello and you have a couple of minutes together. But, you know, some of the stories people are going into in their own backgrounds, both of the players... You know, there's not often that players get an opportunity really to talk about their past.
To open up, yeah.
It's just been a real pleasurable experience to just be involved with and be a part of. And I've just got to share this bit of feedback that got sent to us today, just to give you an idea of the impact it's having, because it really has, be really rewarding, I think, for everybody involved, both those that are attending, but also for us and the people that are helping us host it and put it together. We literally got this yesterday. I'd like to say thank you to Signature, of course, who are the...
Signature at Beckenham, yeah.
Signature at Beckenham, who are the proud sponsors of it. And a big thank you to them for all their support.
Wouldn't be possible without them.
I'd like to say big thank you to Signature and all the guys involved with our coffee tea mornings. Getting out and chatting with others involved has helped me in so many ways over the last few challenging months. Thank you to Andy for taking the time out of what must be a very challenging time for his frankness. It's so refreshing and respectful when addressing the older fans. Many thanks and long may it continue.
It's absolutely fantastic. And I know David is just one of the many, many Ravens Chat attendees that have told us just what an impact it's had on them. And obviously we really appreciate the feedback, David. And I know that Paul and Roy and some of the other guys as well, not to name them all.
As I'm sure everyone can expect, Roy can have... Roy, there's probably going to be a spin-off of this called Extra Time. Extra Time.
Yeah, Extra Time with Roy Oliver. Yeah,
where
yeah.
Roy just... stays around for another 4 hours.
Absolutely, he's fantastic.
If you're
as
listening,
well.
Roy, much love.
Oh, honestly, it's been really, really nice for us, like you say as well, Jeff, to sit down and chat to people as well and get to know the faces that come into the ground on a Saturday and a Tuesday night and actually show that we're here for more than the match days and we're here to support them for more than that. If you'd like more information on Ravens Chat, you can visit our community website, which is bromleyfc.tv/community. And if you are over the age of 50, you are more than welcome to register for your place and come on down and join us for a coffee and a chat.
Talking about coming down for a coffee and a chat, we've got the fans forum on Monday, Matt.
We have indeed, yes. So obviously some of you will remember coming to the fans forum back at the latter stages of last year. Of course, this is the second one. Jeff, you're on the panel along with Mark Hammond, Andy Woodman and chairman and owner Robin Stanton Gleaves.
Apologies in advance.
But I felt the last one was quite a productive evening, wasn't it? It was nice to be able to
originally the plan was obviously to do it every quarter, wasn't it? So we're slightly behind on that schedule, but there has been a lot of hard work in the meantime. The Ravens supporters board idea, which came up, has been developed, and there's been around 20 or so people that are helping pull that together and have met on site numerous times, including earlier this week, with regards to trying to set up a supporters committee and help bridge the gap between the club and supporters on general, you know, communications and bigger projects and ideas and stuff. So that's been really productive and that's really moving along. So hopefully we'll have a little update about that on Monday. Obviously, Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen's coming along downstairs absolutely brilliantly. I mean, that's... I'm touching wood, but that's going to be open well before the end of the season. And, you know, we've got four, maybe five big home games in April. So hopefully some positive news on that front. And again, just like last time, all the details are over on the website. Please click on the link and just book in advance. So obviously we know how many people are coming and we can obviously plan accordingly. As ever, the chairman's putting on a free bar for those in attendance, obviously.
Lovely gesture.
So it should be an enjoyable evening. I think they're going to have some bits that they can put on the screen as well, and fans can. One of the feedback from last time was supporters wanted the opportunity to raise their questions ahead of the evening. So again, if you email fansvoice@bromleyfc.co.uk and get all your questions in, that would be great. And obviously, we'll look to cover as many as possible on the evening. And I'm sure the evening will end with obviously a bit of an open Q&A as usual. So no, really looking forward to it. It'll be great to get everyone together again and share some of the for the chairman to share some of the latest updates. Andy to talk about the football front, which everyone always likes to hear about. Mark Hammond, the academy, and on the sporting side, there's some amazing things going on there as well, which I'm sure will be really interesting to supporters. And obviously, I'll just be sitting on the end.
Yeah. Someone asked Jeff a question.
Oh dear!
But I think that's pretty much it for this episode, isn't it? I think we've covered everything, really.
It's one of those because we've got no first team game to preview. When is it? Our next game's Torquay.
Next home game is Torquay away, so we don't actually have a game on Tuesday either. Which is we've kind of got into the rhythm of having Tuesday games and midweek games.
We're
going
to have to get used to it. I think for the rest of March and April, it's going absolutely. To be going to be non-stop. Certainly,
plenty of games coming up.
But yeah, and then obviously next week's supposed to be episode 100. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm on annual leave. I've actually got some time, off next week. So episode, I don't know what. A, we don't know what the plan is for episode 100 anyway, but...
we're not going to pretend we do.
I don't know what's going to happen.
If you don't, I definitely don't.
So thanks for joining us. No idea what's going to happen next week.
Well, we know what's happening tomorrow. It's the under-23s at Hayes Lane.
Come
on down and support them. Get your tickets online, a fiver a ticket, and come on down and witness the talent that is coming through the football club. Fantastic. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Always.
And we'll be back again very soon. Take care, everyone. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.